This last weekend, I was over at our Westside Ministry, and I normally go once or twice a year if I can, and I was there, and I love being on Thanksgiving, and most of the time when people stop me to talk, they'll tell me about themselves, and I ask them questions, and then they'll often say, would you pray for me, you know, and they just have a myriad of things they want me to pray for. And but the morning of this particular day that I was going to go, I knew I was going to go there, I knew this weekend was coming up, and this is a rare moment that I'm not in a series. I normally preach in series, and I normally lay out my year like way in advance, and so I normally am at least 4 to 6 months out of what I'm preaching on, right? And occasionally I'll interrupt that, but I actually had a weekend in between the series we just did called Tested, Tempted, and Turned Around, and the series we're going into called Oh Come All Ye Faithful. So I had this one weekend. I was like, okay, God, what would you like me to talk on? So that morning as I was showering, getting ready for the morning, knowing I was going to go to the Westside, I just said to the Lord under my breath, God, please let me know what you'd like me to talk about. Then a few hours later, I'm at the Westside, and I'm praying for people and encouraging people and just having a good time. And a gentleman comes up to me named Richard, and Richard says to me, Pastor Bill, can I talk to you? I was like, sure. Normally, they would tell me what's going on in their life and ask me to pray, but he said, actually, I have a request. I was like, okay, what's up? And he says, would you ever consider sharing a word on those who've experienced a lot of loss? I was like, that's a great idea, Richard. Tell me, what have you experienced? He said, well, this year, he began to tear up. He said, I've recently lost my brother and both my parents in the same year. And so I just said, Richard, I'm so sorry. We hugged, prayed for him, and I told him, yes, I will talk on that. So today, the message is for you, Richard. I want to talk to you about how you can get through great loss. But I have a feeling Richard's not alone. I also think it's important to talk about this because we're entering into Thanksgiving and really the holiday season. And for most of us, that's a great time of fun and joy. It's exciting. But for many people, it's really a difficult time because of who's not at the Thanksgiving table, because of who's not there Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. So my prayer is that this message will minister to you. Maybe you've recently lost someone. Maybe it wasn't someone you lost, it's something you lost. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe there's been a loss of innocence, a loss of expectations that you were really believing something's going to happen and it did not happen. So I just want to encourage you today. I believe today's message is for you. You guys ready to dive into the scripture? Yes. Let's do that. Yeah. I'm excited about today's message. There's a lady in the Bible named Naomi. Naomi's story is unique because the focus of her story is actually more about a lady named Ruth and a guy named Boaz. It's a love story. But in the middle of the story, there's a supporting character named Naomi. She's the mother-in-law of Ruth. Now, it's not very often that you will find a sermon on mother-in-laws, right? But today, we're going to talk about her and how God used her in a powerful way. And so let's jump into scripture in Ruth chapter 1. Here's what's going on. Naomi, her and her husband and her two boys all leave to go to Moab to kind of like start a life for themselves, to start a new career, you know, like kind of launch out. They get there, the boys get married to these two girls, and so now she's got two daughter-in-laws, two sons, and her husband dies. So now she finds herself a widow. Then, separately, both her boys die. So now she's lost all of the men in her life, and now she has two daughter-in-laws, and it's just her, and they really don't know what to do. Now, on top of that, they were very destitute, and let me tell you why. In the Middle East, in ancient Middle Eastern times, I'm not saying this is right or ethical, but it's just the way it was, women were not allowed to own anything. In fact, women were considered property. Of course, we don't agree with that, but that's the way it was back in ancient Middle East. Unfortunately, there's some areas in the Middle East, it's still like that. Again, no one's saying this is right. So they were very vulnerable to all that they owned being taken right from them just because there were no male heirs in their lives. None of her daughter-in-laws had children. There were no boys. And so, you know, they were very vulnerable. So let's pick up in the story here in Ruth chapter 1, verse 20. Naomi says this, "Don't call me Naomi," she responded. "Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made my life bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me? The name Naomi means pleasant. The name Mara means bitter. She says, don't call me pleasant, call me bitter. You ever known someone like this? You're like, ooh, the kind of person that lights up a room when they leave it. You know what I'm talking about? Like that. They're just negative. They're angry. Well, let's have a little compassion on this person because they may have had a big loss. Most people that are really negative have gone through something. There's a reason. They didn't probably just wake up and say, I would like to be bitter. I would like to be difficult. I would like to be negative. They've been through something painful. And so it's marred them. It's marked them as a person. So she says, don't call me pleasant. I'm not pleasant. I'm bitter. I went away with my hands full. I come back empty. Maybe you feel that way. It says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, this is important because we see a reality that Naomi has to deal with and that she's lost her husband. She's lost her boys, which is, of course, horrible. But it says here in verse 6, Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah, that's Jerusalem, and by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. This is important. Naomi doesn't have time to mourn. Let me just explain that. Like, she's like, look, I know we've all lost our husbands. We're very upset, but we got to eat tomorrow. Like, we have enough food for today, maybe a couple days, but we got to get home or we're going to starve to death. So economic need, actually, this may surprise you. I want to be real sensitive as I say this, but that is a gift God gives us. Because she needs to be fed, because she needs to make sure her daughters have food, she's like, we don't have time to have a cry fest all day. Let's get up. And we got to get back to Jerusalem before we starve to death. Can I tell you something that may surprise you? I want to give you some advice. I want to give you four principles today. Today's message is called The Joyful Survivor, Turning Grief into Gratitude. Now, I want to say this very sensitive, but I want to share with you what I share with people as a pastor who's pastored the same church for 27 years. I have had the privilege of burying a lot of people, of being with families in some of their darkest, most difficult moments. The most painful thing I've ever seen someone go through would be losing a child. I don't think there's a greater pain. I don't. Everyone I know who's lost a child, I just want to tell you something. God will grow you through it, but I have never met anyone who lost a child that's ever really the same. It just marks you. It does. You can grow through it. You can have grace. God can help you, but I'm just telling you, please have compassion and empathy for someone if they've lost a child. The second most painful thing, and this is my opinion after watching lots of families or anyone who's lost a spouse. Incredibly painful, right? So, but there's all kinds of losses. Those may be your losses, or maybe for you it's a loss of someone who walked out of you in your life. You say, well, I didn't lose my spouse by death, but they chose to leave. Maybe you had someone leave your life, right? More than that in a moment, but let me just stop on the loss for a second. Let me just say this. Those who lost someone by death, let me just say this real quickly. This is very important, and I'm not trying to blow this off. We're going to come back, and I want to minister to you in particular if you're in the middle of your loss right now at the end of the message. So I'm not blowing this off. I just, please give me the grace to teach and then come back and minister to you. Is that okay? Can we do that? But let me tell you, this is really important. And it's going to sound cold. I don't mean it cold. I mean this to help you. I literally give this advice all the time for people who have recently lost someone. Here's the first thing I want you to do. Don't deny your pain. Don't deny it. But keep moving forward. This may surprise you, but this advice will really help you. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If you lose your spouse or child on a Wednesday, make sure you're back in the office on a Monday. That may seem crazy. You're like, are you even serious? I'm actually totally serious. Go back to work. You and your spouse used to go to the gym together. Now they're not there anymore. Go to the gym without them. You say, Pastor, it's just too painful. I can't do that. I just want to quit my job, quit going to the gym. No, no, no. Because at your job and at your gym are all the relationships that you need right now. the support system of being going to your church. Yeah, I used to see it with my spouse. I know, come to church alone. Why? Because you need the support of all the people in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So stay doing the routine you did before, and also don't make any major decisions right now after a loss. It will probably be the wrong decision. I've seen it again and again. Don't get married right away. Please don't do that. Please don't jump real quick and do something, because that's when we make bad financial decisions, bad emotional decisions, bad relational decisions. So I want to encourage you instead, get right back into the routine you had before you lost them. And it may seem crazy, but I'm trying to help you, because you need the stability of those people in your life. It's not about the routine. It's about the people who are in your routine being there for you. That's such a critical thing. I promise you it will bless you. And so let me also just say this too about your loss. There's something, a friend of mine went to a psychological retreat. That wasn't what it was called. I think it was called an encounter or something. But he went to this thing, and he called me later, and he said, oh my gosh, it was so amazing. He started telling me all about it. And he told me about this one particular thing that always stuck with me. And this is years ago. He said, we went, and they had us all pair up with different people, with someone I didn't even know. And we sat down with this person across from us. And the psychologist said, okay, now share the deepest, darkest, most painful thing that's ever happened to you with this total stranger. Like, wow, this is not easy, right? So people were sharing things that were illegal that happened to them, that were unethical that happened to them, that were horrible, immoral, all kinds of terrible things, right? And they're sharing this, and the psychologist, now this is important, lean into the pain, lean into the darkness, tell the whole truth, the whole story. They began to do this. This took 20 to 30 minutes. Then after the person shared, then they switched. And now the other person who was listening, now you share. I mean, people are crying. I mean, it's like the ugly cry, right? Like, it is just like, I don't even want to think about this anymore, and they're just sharing it. It's a good, now, everyone get up after 30 minutes of this and find someone that you haven't already sat down with and talked to. Sit down with them. So it's a new person. Now, share the same story, short and succinct and positively. People are like, what? They're like, just tell it quick, like, okay, I lost my job. Then the next week I got another job. Or next month I got another job. Or my spouse left me, you know? And it hurt a lot. And I went to church, I called to God, and then I met someone about a year later. And that was it. Like, they just said the same story, but without going into any details, just real quick. And then I move forward, next thing. And then the psychologist said this. Some of you are offended by what I just did because you're still in that dark pain. But this is brilliant. Listen, the psychologist said, it's your story to tell. How you choose to tell it determines how happy you are in your future. Does that help someone today? I don't mean that to be ugly. We're not minimizing your pain at all or your difficulty. What we're saying is, if you stay in that pain, if you stay in that darkness, you'll be very unhappy. So you have to learn to tell your story in a new way. I'm not blowing it off. Again, your story to tell. You say, Mr. Pastor, I'm not there yet. It's okay. But I believe and I'm praying that you will get there to where you can tell it quickly, succinctly, and move forward, that God has something new for you. My friend and pastor, Rick Warren, tells a story that one day he was preaching and he was tired. And so after his weekend of preaching all week weekend, he went to Tom Holliday, who's a good friend of his and pastor on his staff. And he said, hey, Tom, I happen to know both these guys. They're great guys. And he said, hey, Tom, I'm just really tired. I was going to preach next weekend, but I'm exhausted. Do you mind preaching for me? And Tom said, of course, Rick. I'll be glad to do that. And so Tom just said, what would you like me to preach on? And Rick said, you know what? He just literally sat there and was like, preach on what you would say to someone who is experiencing the darkest day of their life, how to get through the darkest day of your life. Tom was like, okay. So he went that week and he began to prepare that sermon. That was on a Sunday. And just a few days later, after Rick told Tom that, Rick's son took his life. Rick had no idea that he just asked one of his closest friends to write a message that he would be needing. And then Rick and Kay showed up at church, broken. The whole church, of course, was feeling their pain as well. They sat in the front row, and Tom Holliday preached a message called How to Get Through Your Darkest Day. Isn't it good that God goes before you and knows what you need when you don't even know? Yes. Isn't it good to know that he knows what's going on? Maybe today, maybe just maybe today, God knew you needed this message. Maybe he knew we're about to enter the holiday season. It's a very tough season for you. Maybe he knew what was going on in your life. God is good like that. He is there for you. Timing is everything, is it not? One of the ways you know God's speaking to you is through timing, and maybe the timing is good. I pray that for you. So let me tell you something else in the story that's really powerful. Luke chapter 1, verses 14, there were actually two daughter-in-laws with Naomi. One was named Orpah, the other was Ruth, okay? So Orpah tells her mother-in-law, love you, I'm going to go back home. Basically like, I have no reason to be here, I don't have any kids, there's no grandchild I'm taking from you, it's just me. So I've got family back home, I'm young, I'll probably remarry, right? I mean, that's just realistic, you know? She says, I'm going to go back home. Nothing wrong with this, right? Look at the scripture, it says this. It says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 14, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. So this is not a negative thing, this is a positive thing. Like, I love you, I care for you, but I'm going to go back home, right? But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people. You should do the same. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you or turn back. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. She's like, hey, Ruth, you know, stay with me. And then Ruth goes into this beautiful scripture. In fact, I love the scripture so much, I include this scripture passage in every wedding I ever perform, because it's so beautiful, right? I mean, she says, like, look, not only am I with you, if you leave, I'm going wherever you go. Whoever your God is going to be my God. And so she's like, you can leave, and I'm following you, right? This is a beautiful scripture for either a wedding or a stalker. Either way, like, wherever you go, I'm going. So, either way. Okay, so this is really important, though. What does Naomi teach us here? This is a simple principle, but it's a really big deal. Would you write this down? Number two, focus on who stays, not on who leaves. This is really important. And so, now I want to say this. I know that the person who died did not probably choose to die, right? So that was not their choice. So they did leave you, but they didn't leave you. I mean, they didn't mean to, right? But some of us have gone through great loss from someone who did mean to leave us, right? Maybe someone left your marriage. Maybe someone, I mean, you say, I have mom or dad who left me. Like they divorced and I hardly ever see them, if at all. That's very common today, by the way. I don't know if you know that, but it used to be uncommon. Now it's incredibly common. There's more children in broken homes than in homes with mom and dad staying together now. So maybe that is where you're at. You say, I am hurt, Pastor, because my father or my mother is no longer in my life or barely in my life, just barely shows up. And then to make matters worse, they fell in love again and now they got like another family as if we're not even here. Yeah, it's real. Maybe that's a loss you've experienced. Maybe your loss was you lost a job, you were laid off, or you were let go, you were fired, and it's very painful. Maybe for you, you were dating someone and you thought this is it, this is the one, and then they broke up with you, and you thought that was going to be it. Or maybe it's a loss of a friendship. I'm not sure what kind of loss this is. It could be a loss of innocence. You had an expectation, and that expectation was shattered. But we've all experienced loss in our life. But this is really important. You do a disservice to those who've clung to you when you focus all your energy on those who left you. Did you catch that? So rather than being so focused on who hurt you, focus on who stayed and held you. Right? So I just want to encourage you this, because we all go through this, where people leave us and it really hurts our feelings. I don't like it when people leave our church or when people, you know, left our staff, you know, but I realize this. I just need to love them when they come, love them while they're here, and love them when they go. It's okay, you know? And they probably don't even mean anything bad by it. I didn't mean anything bad when I went from one Mexican food place to another. I just like the salsa over here a little better. I'm sorry, it's nothing personal. I wasn't giving commentary on the manager of the place. I just wanted to go here. So a lot of times it's nothing personal, or maybe it's very personal. Either way, you still do a disservice when you focus on who left rather than who stays. So I want to encourage you just to move forward with that. That may seem simple, but I promise you it can really make a difference in your life And so some people are with you for, someone just told me this today, some people are with you for a season, for a reason. Some people are with you for a season, and some people are with you for a lifetime. So, and there are what I would call, I heard Bishop Jake say this one time. He said, there are scaffolding people in your life that when you build a building, scaffolding goes up, but then when it's built, the scaffolding comes down. There's people that are in your life that are part of your life, like they're part of the building. There's other people who are part of your life for a season, but then the season ends and they're no longer part of your life. And that's okay. Don't become bitter just because someone's no longer around. And so people come and go. And honestly, you will come and go in someone's life too. So it's very normal for that to happen. Let's focus on who stays, not on who leaves. Is this helping someone today, I hope? Okay, let's keep going. It's good. Let's go. Check it out. Ruth chapter 2, look what happens next. Let's fast forward the story. So now this is really painful because I can't unpack all this because it's such a great story. But today our focus is on Naomi. But Ruth and Naomi go back to Jerusalem. They're back in J-Town. They're there and they're hungry. So they just, Ruth gets real practical. She's like, well, I got to do what I got to do. So I need to provide some food for my mother-in-law and for me. And so she says to her mother-in-law, hey, I'm going to go out where they're, I know it's harvest time, so they're harvesting the grain, and I'm just going to follow behind them if they'll let me pick up some scraps so we can eat tonight. Naomi's like, that's a great idea. So she goes, and here's what happens. It says in Ruth chapter 2, verses 1, one day Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters, and as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz. I love this because Boaz, it just so happened to be that he was a relative. Now, this is important because all the just so happens in your life are not accidents. Listen, I got great news for you. A coincidence is just a miracle where God remains anonymous. God doesn't have, the coincidences are all God's hand too. Isn't that great to know that? So just so happens that Boaz owns the field. He's the wealthy relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. While she was there, Boaz arrived. This is what he said. What's the first thing he said? He said, the Lord be with you. Oh, this tells us a lot about a man's character, right? That what comes out of your mouth is what's on your heart. First thing he says, Lord be with you. If there's no talk of God until you show up, run from this person. In other words, they're reading you. Oh, you're into God. Oh, yeah, I'm into God too. No, you never mentioned that before until I showed up. And one of the ways you know you've fallen for the singles is that as soon as they're done with you, they're back to all the things they used to do. So they need to be having that God talk going on without you around. Catch that? Does that help someone today, I hope? Because they're into God, right? So he says, the Lord be with you. He said, the Lord bless you, his servant said in response. The harvesters replied. Then Boaz asked, who's that young woman over there? But then he didn't just stop with that. He said, does she belong to? So what is he saying? Who's that girl over there and is she single? That's what he's saying. I love that question, right? I'm sure the harvesters are like, well, Boaz, that's Ruth, right? And he's like, really? So he realizes, like, who's her? Who's that lady? She's single, right? So then he approaches her, and I don't have time to unpack the whole story, but he invites her to come eat lunch with him, gets to know her. He's like, oh, I know, I knew your father-in-law. Yeah, he was a great guy. He's part of our family, right? So then she goes home because he gives her all this grain, right? And so she's got all this grain. She goes home, and Naomi's like, where'd all this food come from? She's like, you're not going to believe him. I met this guy named Boaz. And she's like, Boaz? I haven't heard his name in forever. Oh, my gosh. That's, you know, he knew your husband. What? And then she said this. This is what Naomi said. Ruth 2:20. He is showing his kindness to us as well as to your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers. Now, the word family redeemer means kinsman redeemer. What that word means is something most of us aren't familiar with, but Deuteronomy 25 teaches a principle that if you've got, you've got all these sisters, they're all married to different guys, one of the guys dies and the sister is now a widow. The next sister, next of kin to the sister who's now a widow, her husband's responsibility is to marry her. I know this sounds really jacked up. Just trust me. Marry her, have a child, hopefully the child's a boy, and through the lineage of the boy, all her stuff that she owns, the ranch, the business, the car, the house, whatever, right, all the stuff that they have, she can keep it in the name of her boy. Or if they don't produce a boy, she can keep it in the name of her new husband, legal husband, right? So that she doesn't lose all that. So what's the principle? The principle is take care of your family. We would all agree with that principle, wouldn't we? So again, I'm not asking you to go marry someone else. Don't do that. But what we are saying, the principle is still the same, that we should take care of one another. Jesus, hey, he is one of your family redeemers, right? And so also want to point this out, that we know according to Scripture there was someone closer to her being a redeemer. There was a relative, right? That we know later on in the story, Boaz goes to talk to her and say, hey, you can claim her as yours and you get all the land she has, all the, and the guy's like, oh no, that'll mess up my marriage. I don't want to do that, right? She's like, okay, no problem. He goes, well, then can I? And he says, yeah, you go ahead. That's fine. So then Boaz respects the lineage and realizes you're the first in line, right? But Boaz wants to be the family redeemer. This isn't about money to him. This is about love. He's in love with her, right? Isn't that beautiful? So he's like, I want to take care of her. And I mean, how many single women probably today are hearing this message thinking, that's my prayer, Pastor. I want a kinsman redeemer, a man who will choose to act as if he is the father of my children, right? That's a common thing, right? I hope that he'll love me, but I hope he'll also fall in love with my kids and want to help in that regard too. And so there's nothing wrong with praying that prayer. So number three, watch God open doors for you and those you love and be grateful. Be grateful for the doors that God opens, okay? Now, don't push a door open. Don't force a door open. Let God do it in his timing and his way. And Naomi, I love this. She is just as excited as if she's getting a husband helping Ruth. In fact, if you study the scripture closer, Naomi gives all kinds of advice to Ruth. Hey, girl, get dressed up. You know, wash your face, get cleaned up. You know, like, make sure you're smelling good when you go back. You know, I mean, she's giving all the kind of advice. And so she's like leaning into the story of Ruth and Boaz and how God's connecting them. And anyways, it's a beautiful story. So God connects them. But I just want to encourage you that God will open doors for you too, relationally, or maybe you've lost your job. God will open the door for another job for you. And so I just want to encourage you today to know that God is not through with your story. Yes, a chapter's ended, but a new chapter has also begun at the same time. Turn the page. Does that make sense? Turn the page by faith. God's not done. And then let me just fast forward the story. And there's so much good stuff I could talk about, how to find the right man and woman in your life. And there's all kinds of stuff in here. And I've done messages on Ruth and Boaz before, but right now, that's not the story. The story's on Naomi. But let me show you something. Ruth chapter 4, we're going to go to the very end of the story. It says this. So Boaz took Ruth into his home. And she became his wife. And she gave birth to a son. The women of the town said to Naomi, praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. Naomi cared for the baby as if he were her own. So she gets the nanny. She gets to be the grandma, basically, right? The neighbor women said, now at last Naomi has a son again, and they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David, as in King David. How cool is that? Now, here's what's amazing about this story, too. If you're like me and you're like, man, that story was jacked up, right? I mean, that was like straight up Jerry Springer. I don't know how they got through all that. But isn't it nice to know that this jacked up crazy story is the lineage of Jesus Christ our Lord, which means that God can somehow use your lineage too. Praise God, right? Like, thank you, Lord, right? So that's good news for all of us. But I want to point something out. This is really important. Number four, find purpose in serving others. Get your eyes off yourself. I have a dear friend, known him a long time, known him over a decade and a half, named John Olvey. John is a big surfer. He's actually a legend. You go down to the Texas Museum of Surfers, he's in it. There's like a young version of him everywhere in those pictures. And he's a painter. There's almost not a wall in our church that at some point he didn't paint. I mean, that's how long he's been around, and he's been serving, using his talents for a long time. Well, he still served all the way into his retirement. And one day, a couple years ago, he went surfing. And he came off the waves, was loading up stuff in his car, about to go home, and he had a massive heart attack and died. He got to do what he loved before he died, but then the Lord took him home. I was there with him and Yvonne after he passed, and just the other day, I was at the Westside Mission, at our local missions, giving out turkeys, praying for people, and I saw Yvonne. As soon as I saw her, I said, Yvonne, come here, and I gave her a big hug. I said, so good to see you. And I said, Yvonne, I want you to know, every holiday, I pray for you. There's a list of people that I pray for that I've helped bury a loved one. I want you to know, I do. I really do. I pray for you because I know that this is the toughest season. The first year of all the first birthdays and anniversary, that's the hardest year. But then the holidays are still tough, you know? So I said, I just want you to know, I pray for you. She said, Pastor, thank you so much. And I said, also, I want to tell you something, Vaughn. I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of you that here you are. You could be at home saying, woe is me. Why am I alone? But you're not. You're here at the Westside Local Mission serving other people, making life about others. Isn't that what it's about? That's what we do. She began to tell me how God used her to bring a thing called Grief Share to our campuses, and she's actually doing this at her Padre Island. They're going to start it back up in January. Maybe you need Grief Share. Go on over there. In fact, I think we should eventually have Grief Share at all of our campuses. Wouldn't that be a great thing for those who are hurting just to have something to teach them how to go through all the stages of grief, right? Well, I just want to encourage you, if that's something you need, just call our office. We'll make sure you get connected. But I just want to tell you that it's beautiful that she uses her pain to minister to others. Let me show you a scripture about that. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says this, he comforts us when we suffer. That is why whenever other people suffer, we are able to comfort them by using the same comfort we have received from God. Can I tell you something about your pain? God always recycles it. He never wastes a hurt. God is maybe saying to you today, what you're going through right now, one day, you will help others go through what you are going through. I pray that God gives you a vision for the difference you can make. Here's what happened. Because of what Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz did, Naomi goes from bitterness to blessing, from unbelief to faith, from despair to hope, and from being empty to literally having full hands holding a beautiful grandbaby. God wants you to do the same thing. So we're going to do something different right now in our services right now across all of our campuses. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. And I want to enter into what I call a ministry moment. Can we do that? We're going to have a ministry moment right now across all of our campuses. Right now, if you'll just be vulnerable for just a moment, trust me, I promise we're going somewhere good with this, okay? God's called me to be a pastor. That means shepherd, to shepherd you, to care for you. So today, whatever campus you're at, if you are currently experiencing loss, would you hold your hand high? If that's you, just hold your hand high if you're experiencing loss. Thank you. Their hands going up all across our churches right now. Just hold those up. It's okay. And right now, I'm going to ask those around you with your hand held high, if you see someone with a hand around you, would you just reach out and put your hand on their shoulder right now? We're going to pray for them. Would you do that? I pray no one is left without a hand on their shoulder right now. Just, it's very appropriate, right on their shoulder. Just put your hand on their shoulder. Would you do that? We want to pray for you right now across all of our campuses. Go ahead. You can just say a word. I trust your prayer. Just pray for them. Go ahead. Just say something like, God, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister in Christ. I pray you'd help them through this season. Just go ahead and pray for them right now. Go ahead. I'm going to give you a second. Go ahead. Praise God. This is the church being the church. Go ahead. Pray for them right now. Just ask God to give them strength. Ask God to help them. Maybe you're watching online. You can put it in a text chat. Say, my hand's raised. And I bet someone's going to say, and my hand's touching your shoulder right now as I pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. As you finish up your prayer, I've got two things I want to tell you. If you're hurting today, praise God. It's okay to move around. Just go pray for someone. It's okay. Praise God. I love that. Praise God. If you're hurting today, I want to tell you two things. This is directly from God. Here's what God wants to say to you. God says to you this, I am close to you in your pain. How do I know God says that to you? Because he says this in Psalms 34. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And the second thing, I want you to take this next verse as a promise from God. Here's God's promise to you. He says, I will turn your mourning into joy. I will turn your mourning into joy. It may not be overnight. It may be a month from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, or a year from now. But God says, I will turn your mourning, your brokenness, into joy. In Psalms 30, verse 5, it says, the nights of crying your eyes out give way to the days of laughter. God, I want to thank you, Lord, for that person today who's hurting. God, I thank you that you love them, that you're going to get them through this, that they are not alone, but they have you and your people all around them right now. Thank you, God, that we can be the church for one another, serving one another, loving one another, encouraging one another. Lord, even sometimes crying with one another. Thank you, God, that we can be there for each other. I pray for the person today who's hurting, who's experienced great loss. May they know that you love them, you see them. You're still on the throne, God. Lord, when they lost their son, you gave your son. When they lost their loved one, you gave your loved one. Thank you, God, that you're with us and you're here to help us through our darkest days. Thank you, Father, for your truth, that you're there and you will take our mourning and turn it into laughter. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Can we give these people a hand right now at all of our campuses? Praise God. What a moment, right? Praise God. I love that. If you'll take a moment right now as we stand to our feet, would you just bow your heads, every head bowed, every eye closed? If you've never given your life to Christ, you can receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior right now by praying this very simple prayer. This is how you become a Christian. You just trust your life in Christ's hands. You can pray this prayer. Just say, dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed across all of our campuses, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you just hold your hand high right now? If you just gave your life to Christ, hold those hands high right now. Thank you. There are hands going up all across our churches right now. Hold those hands. Thank you. We see your hands. Thank you, Rodfield. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. Praise God right now. God's moving right now. Portland, Texas. Hold those hands high. Thank you. Thank you, Rockport, Fulton. Praise God. Thank you, Padre Island. God's moving right now. Those of you online with us, if you just gave your life to Christ, put it in the text chat. Just text my hands raised or click hand raised right now. In our prison ministry, hold those hands high. We praise God that you gave your life to Christ. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this place. Thank you, God, for the way you take care of us and you minister to us as only you can, God. Thank you for your word and your truth today. Just like Naomi, we can go from being bitter to being pleasant, from having empty hands to being full again. I pray your blessings over each person here. Thank you, God, that we leave today with hope, knowing that you're with us. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Can we give God a hand right now? His word is so true. Thank you so much. You may be seated.